When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to episode 31 of the Sick Podcast with your host, That Leafs Fan. We are really starting to come down towards the end of the season. There's a couple of games to talk about, a couple of things to talk about for the boys, but nothing else but preparation is what counts right now. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, drop a like, and producer, roll the tape.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With That Leafs Fan.
They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
The sickest Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. It's gonna be sick.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode. We are now upon the most important and fun part of the entire season, which is preparation for the NHL playoffs, the games that actually matter. As you guys have heard me say many times throughout the season, had a couple of games this week. Unfortunately, we were only able to do one episode last week. As you can probably still tell, I don't sound 100%, so this is really the Sick Podcast with your host, That Leafs Fan, who is sick. Love to see it. And we played the Capitals this week. We won 7-3. We'll talk about that. We played the Oilers. I had a heart attack in that game. We were up 5-0 in the third period, and I had a heart attack in that game. Only a Leafs fan can say something stupid and ridiculous like that. And then we have the game against the Hurricanes last night in which we fell shy. Look, overall, 6 possible points. We pick up 4 of them, which was nice. We beat one of the teams who is still in a highly competitive spot to try to look their way into the playoffs, and we gained 2 on them, this being the Capitals. Hurricanes last night, it was a back-to-back. It was let's go on chronological. So it starts off, since our last episode, the Leafs playing the Capitals, and honestly, that was a matchup between the up-and-coming greatest goal scorer versus the greatest goal scorer, Alexander Ovechkin versus Austin Matthews. And it was a really, really entertaining game. Like, up until, I want to say, like, the 7-minute mark of the third, when, like, it really just the Leafs took over and just kind of went up ahead by 2-3, and the game was done by then. Before that, it was always, like, within 1-2 goals the entire game. And it was just a really good, entertaining hockey game. There was a lot of action. There was a couple of defensive woes. There was a couple of really nice plays. Nylander with an absolute snipe. Matthews with a very almost hat trick, but Tyler Bertuzzi goes offside. Tyler can't do that. But then he comes back and he scores one of his own. So I was like, okay, I'll let it slide. Pap was a little pissed about it, but no, he wasn't. But yeah, very good game overall in that one. It was honestly probably one of the only times. Okay, so the Leafs were up 2-0 in that game. The Capitals got a power play. I looked over to everyone in my living room and I'm like, you see that guy number 8? He's going to be on the left side on the circle. He will not move. He's going to get the puck and it's going to be a one-timer and he's scoring. And well, then everyone around me is like, well, can't you just like prepare for that? And I'm like, yes, normally. But that's Alexander Ovechkin. So prepare however you want. He already has the Leafs number as it is. And he's just going to score. Everyone knows he's going to be there. Everyone knows he's going to shoot. He won't be moving. Everyone is going to see it coming. Like the Capitals won't even try to hide the fact that it's going to Ovechkin. And he's going to take that shot. And he's going to score. Lo and behold, it's 2-1. Ovechkin gets his first after, I think Matthews already had his first at that point. It was a really back and forth. Matthews finished with 2. Ovechkin finished with 2. And I just wanted to kind of like talk about, it's not really about the Leafs. It's more about Ovechkin, this little segment. But because I know I normally only talk about the Leafs, but it was really nice to, like, that's what I was saying. It was one of the only times I think that the Leafs got scored on, and I was like, ah, I'm not mad about it. Like, I'm not mad. That's Ovi. He's getting closer to the record. Good for you, bro. Like, I wasn't even mad about it. I'm like, how can you be mad about watching the great, one of the greatest goal scorers of all time inch closer to the record? It was just one of those. It was one of those. And it was right from his, like, office. It was right from the office, the exact spot. If you had a montage of the amount of goals that Ovechkin scored from that spot, we would be here for 4 hours. Just score, like, one timer, and all power play. Just bang, 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 all the time. And so that was really fun to see. The reason I enjoyed it was because in the end, the Leafs ended up winning. And like I said, it was really like a close game, or like it was a good hockey game up until around like the 8-7 minute mark left of the third period. I thought the Leafs played really well in the sense where they at times allowed the Capitals to come back in the game, but immediately after the Capitals scored, within a minute or two, the Leafs came right back and scored one of their own. Nylander with another beautiful shot, beautiful, like in and out. It was amazing. And then in the end of the game, I'm sure you guys have seen throughout the continuation of the week, Tom Wilson at the end of the game, I don't even know what that was. Like, I watched it, and I think the fact that Noah Gregor barely reacted to getting an absolute lightsaber to the face, the fact that he barely reacted, I was like, oh, it's not that bad. And then I watched a replay, and I'm like, oh, shit. That was, you can't do that. No chance. That he full on like macheted him in the face with his stick. And even Wilson after is like, oh fuck, like why did I do that? And he like bear hugs him in hopes that like the ref's gonna like be like, oh, he feels bad about it. We're not gonna give him a penalty. Cause they were talking about it. They're like, they were reviewing if it was a possible major. I'm like, major? Like what happened? Like he hit him in the face with a high stick. Okay. And I watched the replay. I'm like, okay. And then I watched it again in slow motion from another angle when it was like you were watching them like coming towards you when you saw the stick. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's bad. Can't do that. He ends up getting suspended for 6 games. Kudos to the NHL. I actually didn't even think that was going to merit 6, I'll be honest. But the NHL said they were going to be cracking down on suspensions. And for once, they actually followed through with it, which was nice to see. I was more in the ballpark of like 3 to 4 or like 4 to, sorry, if you guys hear, there's like a whole construction on our building. Love to see that. But it was truly, I don't know. It just happened so fast that I was like, I didn't expect any of this to be happening. Like the review of the penalty, then later on talking about the suspension and then that it went to 6. Are you kidding me? This is hilarious. Then, sorry about that, guys. It just seems like they are completely destroying our building or something's going on in case you hear any background noise. Just a little heads up for that. But, yeah, so in that game, overall, pretty start to finish. Good game to a certain extent, but the Leafs come out on top, and they always were in control of the game, which was nice to see. And speaking of being in control of the game, let's talk about the Saturday game. The Toronto Maple Leafs face off the Edmonton Oilers in Toronto. First thing I want to talk about is this team. I cannot name you another fan base. I cannot name you another sports team. I'm not just talking hockey now. I'm talking like basketball, football, soccer, whatever. When your team is winning 5-0 in the third period, you should be able to close your TV, go to bed, go to the restaurant, go to the bar with friends, and just assume that your team won the game. And they should win 1,000,000% of the time. Toronto, oh my God. The reason I say that is because I was watching this game with my girlfriend. And at the end of the second period, or at the beginning of the third period, sorry, she's like, the game's over. We don't need to watch this. And I look at her and I'm like, don't say that. I'm like, don't say that. You're completely right. But this is not a completely normal team. the Leafs, I've seen special things happen for all the wrong reasons. So, no, the game is not over. Lo and behold, 30 seconds later, the Oilers get on the board. And I'm like, okay, it's one. Okay, fine. It was a power play, whatever. Immediately after, we take another penalty. Towards the end of it, the Oilers make it 5-2. And you even hear the commentator. And it's now 5-2 Toronto. Hold on. And he says, hold on. And I'm like, I can't believe that I'm actually about to witness one of the greatest falters of all time. And it's Toronto again. But then the Oilers score again, 5-3. Eventually, the Leafs end up winning this game 6-3. The point I'm trying to make is it's so unfortunate because I thought throughout the whole game, like first and second period, by the Leafs, like the Oilers definitely put the pressure on the goal. The Samsonov made some stellar saves. There was a few lapses in the defense, but as a whole, the Leafs were like really playing textbook hockey in the sense of like they weren't giving up on the play. They were targeting the superstars, trying to like get under their skin. Like Edmondson, first time we really get to notice him in the game. They were capitalizing on their opportunities. They weren't taking that many stupid penalties up until the third period. And it was overall just a very good, clean game. And the third period, I just hate that they made it interesting. That's it. Because, like, they didn't blow the lead. And it was it did kind of get close at one point, unfortunately. But, like, the Leafs were going to win this pretty much all the time, knock on wood. But it just, like, it was a little disappointing that they made it interesting when it should have never, like, the game should have been completely finished. End of story. I could have, like I said, closed my TV and, like, I knew everything that happened, but it just wasn't the case. So that was a little bit of a letdown. But the story of the Leafs this year has very much been they bend, but they don't break. What I mean by that is they make it still very close. Like, there is still a lot of different moments in which they do make the game far more interesting than it needs to be when they're in control. And they bend, they get scored on, they make you sweat a little, they bend, but they don't break that often. Although they literally lost a 3-0 lead and blew a lead with like a minute and a half last week against the Hurricanes. That's a write-off, scratch it. Generally speaking, this season, the Leafs, they bend, but they do not break. And that was the story of this game as well. They bent, and they didn't break. They come out with the win. Pontus Holmberg with 2 goals of his own. Bobby McMahon. Bobby. Beautiful. And I actually want someone to look this up. I feel like someone's probably already tracked it. I'm sorry. I am pretty certain that in every game that Bobby McMahon has scored, Matthews has scored as well. Now, granted, this one was an empty net goal. It was whatever, like literally end of game. But I am pretty sure, other than the game that Bobby McMahon got a hat trick in, which was like where this whole run for him started, it was against the Blues. Besides that game, I'm pretty sure, at least almost all of them, that every game that Bobby McMahon has scored in, Austin Matthews has scored in that game as well. And like specifically to him, like if it was Holmberg scoring or Nylander scoring or Max Domi scoring or Bertuzzi, it doesn't mean Matthews is scoring. But if Bobby McMahon has a goal, I'm pretty sure in all of those games, if not most of them, Austin Matthews has a goal as well. So it's good to see that little random correlation happening. I don't know. I just found that funny because like I noticed it. I'm like, Bobby McMahon scores, Matthews scores. And every time I check, I'm like, this seems to be a trend. I don't know. Just something I noticed. But yeah, overall in that game, like I said, story of the game was they were in control. They bent, but they didn't break. I'd like to see them bend a little less. I don't like testing the tension that much, but they seem to just have no problem doing that as long as it doesn't snap. At the end of the day, you got the win. We take it. We move. And then the week ends in a back-to-back yesterday versus the Carolina Hurricanes. This one was kind of like, the Leafs didn't play bad. Joseph Woll played stellar in this game, by the way. I think he had his career-high 41 saves. Like, he definitely, and including one of those was a penalty shot, and which he saved on Gensel. I thought he really did everything he could to give the team a chance to win, like a very good chance to win. Freddie Anderson on the other side, just remembering like, hey, I used to be a Leaf and now I'm not. So I'm now the Terminator, have fun scoring on me, making 10 bell saves on Matthews, Nylander on a couple. The only time we were able to beat him was Nick Robertson off of a pass of Matthews to make it 2-1. They got close, but the Leafs were never really at all in control of this game. They were always chasing from the beginning. The Carolina Hurricanes are one of the best defensive teams in terms of structure in the NHL. And just overall, like, beginning to end, like, first line to fourth line, there's just a lot of depth. There's a lot of structure. There's a lot of, a lot of organization, I guess you could say, to their game. There's, like, it's really, like, a depth team. It's a team game. That's what I mean to say. Like, they are a very scary team because, yes, they have the stars, but they also have a lot of talented players in their depth chart, as well as guys who can actually score even though they're lower in the lineup. I think the Hurricanes are definitely one of the favorite, in my opinion. Them and I'd say maybe like the Panthers to like go and take the East. I think they are definitely among the strongest. But as the old saying goes, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So if there's... Look, if the Leafs are playing the Hurricanes in this year's playoffs at some point, chances are it's because we're out of the first round, so I'll take that every day of the week. I don't care who we're playing. I don't care why we're playing them. I'll take it. I'll take it. Because it's, like I said, it's really looking like Boston right now with a chance of Florida. It's kind of like, it's like partly cloudy with like a chance of rain. Yeah, well, it's like mostly Boston with like a little possibility of like some Panthers in there. But those are looking to be the options for the Leafs heading into the playoffs. Both teams are easily the favorites in that series. Toronto's most likely, if not guaranteed, going to be the underdog heading into that. But I don't mind that. I don't mind the fact that we'd be the underdog. Like I said, keep in mind as well, in the past week and a half or 2 weeks, actually 2 weeks now, I want to say, Marner hasn't been there. And again, the same thing we saw in the absence of Morgan Rielly, like meaning like one of our top players being out, there's been a lot of players stepping up on the team. There's been, like, we've seen really like Jake McCabe, like, take his role on the team. Brody's been a little iffy. It's, I don't know. He has like his moments and he has his like brutal, like, brain farts. I mean, the whole team does, but we really saw, like, for example, I thought that the Leafs defense, when Rielly was out, like Jake McCabe, Timothy Liljegren really, really, really stepped it up, and even Benoit as well. Now we're seeing a forward come out of the lineup being Marner, and I find Max Domi has really flourished and has really taken full advantage of given the opportunity he's been given to be that playmaker. Like, obviously he's no Marner, but he's a damn good playmaker. And he's really setting up Matthews. He's setting up Nylander. He's controlling the power play a little better than what we had imagined. So, like I said, when there's good, there's bad. And when there's bad, there's good. Now, the bad is Marner's out. And obviously, we need him in the lineup. The good part is we're seeing what else we have in the lineup. And I really think the highlight of the past couple of games has really been the effectiveness of Max Domi making the most out of trying to be a Marner, if I can put it that way. Because, like, I think people really underrate the level of playmaking ability Max Domi has. Now, he doesn't bring the defensive side to his game at all. Like, defense is not in the dictionary for Max Domi. Penalty killing, he doesn't do. Like, he doesn't do everything Marner does, which is normal. He gets paid, like, less than a quarter, or just around a quarter of what Marner makes. So you can't expect him to do all that. But in terms of what he brings on the offensive side of things, he is really like a, I don't want to call it Walmart edition, because, like, not to sound like I'm downgrading him, but what I mean to say is, like, he's like a little mini Marner. Like, he very capable of driving the play, very capable of setting it up, the play up, very capable of bringing guys towards him and then feeding the finishers, like being like Matthews, Nylander, Bertuzzi, whoever it is on the play, leaving them with a little bit of open ice once the puck gets to them to just finish the play and get a goal. So I thought he's done a really good job. Samsonov played, again, a very good game as well in terms of the goaltending. I think they should rest him a little. We saw it in what happened in the last year's playoff. We overworked him and we overplayed him, and eventually he just fell to shambles. Like, his body just gave up on him. And I don't see the point, especially the position we're in right now. I just don't see the purpose of burning him out. I mean, Wall had a really good game. I wouldn't mind starting Martin Jones a couple of games here down the stretch. I mean, obviously, you don't want to go into the playoffs cold, but like I said, I also don't want to go into the playoffs completely damaged, because with four, if you want to go the length here in the NHL, you need to be healthy from the start, because the playoffs will deteriorate you and the entire team throughout the process. So it's going to be interesting to see here. I definitely enjoyed the, if you want to call it, like, I've been taking the good and the bad and weighing it out and considering, like, you know, there's definitely been the bugs still going around the team and even myself. Anyways, I'm an idiot. There's been the bug going around in the team, guaranteed. There's been injuries, I don't want to say like full-blown injuries, but like, you can tell some guys are playing hurt out there. Marner's been out of the lineup. Like, these are a lot of things that could have created the downfall of this team, and they're just kind of finding ways in different fashions, which is really nice to see. They're adapting and doing what they can with what they're given. They're given oranges and they're just making orange juice, or given lemons and they're just making lemonade. And that's what they got to do right now. It's not always pretty. It's not always going to be enjoyable, but they're getting it done. They are racking up the points and really separating themselves and like locking up their playoff position. So for that, I really can't say a whole lot much other than, sure, there's things I want to fix. I mean, no team is going to be perfect, especially not the Leafs. They are about the furthest thing from it. They are going to bend. But as long as they don't break, we will take it as they come. But guys, that is going to be it for today. Thank you very much for watching. It is really starting to, we are less than a month or just about a month away from the games that matter, the NHL playoffs. So I cannot wait to be there. I cannot wait to be talking about it. And I really hope you guys join me along with this entire podcast as a whole. That you follow along with me in the playoffs, I want to hear your thoughts. You guys have been absolutely extremely supportive, and I just want to say thank you very, very, very much for that. So join me on the journey. Hit that subscribe button. Drop a like if you haven't already. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. I'll see you guys in the next one. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with That Leafs Fan on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.